talk about brothers, we talk about relationship, we want to talk about community. I want to talk this morning about belonging. That Jesus Christ came to this earth so that we might know we belong to something. That we belong, that we're not just orphans out here, aimlessly striking out, waving our fists in the air, trying to figure life out all alone. But God created us to belong. I want to talk this morning about small groups. Talk about the purpose that we have for small groups. Why do we do what we do here at Living Faith Fellowship? And I kind of want to lay the text for us. And I want to start with, and you can see all the places you can sign up for small groups this morning. But I want to start with this little video. About small groups, places to connect. Small groups, a place where we can keep it small so we can keep it real. I want to start, if you wouldn't mind standing with me as we read our scripture this morning, Genesis 2:18. Genesis 2:18. And then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." You may be seated. A lot of people are going, "Oh my gosh, you can talk about marriage this morning." No, I'm not going to talk about marriage this morning. I'm talking about something that's just as important and something that God said back in Genesis chapter 2. The Lord said, "It's not good. It's not good." A lot of people use that just for marriage. I don't think it's just a marriage scripture. I think God is stating something here about his creation that he made. And he says this, that it's not good that man should be alone. I want to make sure he's got helpers, someone else involved in his or her life. And what's so striking about this statement is this, that God called something not good before the fall. This is before man fell and all of the junk that came into our world that we suffer with today. It's before the fall. It predates the fall. And God said in his perfect environment, in his perfect world, and it is an amazing thing that he created for mankind. He said, but there's one thing that's not good in this. Well, he said everything was good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. He loved everything he made, but he said, but there's one thing about what I made that's not good. It's not meant to be singular. It's meant to be lived out in plural. It's not meant to be lived by itself. You weren't created to live by yourself, be alone. But you were created by God to be in dynamic relationships with one another. And God had a purpose for that. He knew what he was doing. My observation is this. God declares that man all by himself, isolated and all alone, is not a good idea. It's not a good idea to be alone. It's not a good idea to face a problem alone. It's not a good idea to face temptation alone. It's not a good idea to face the rest of life alone. God never intended you to face life by yourself. I know for some of us, we can think, well, I feel more comfortable when I'm just by myself. Awesome. There are times where we can get alone, be with yourself. That's great. Talk, pray. Amazing. But God wanted you to live your life out with other people, with other flesh and blood, with other people who would help you, support you, encourage you, and also add some friction and some problems and some messiness to your life. Have you noted that relationships are 100% perfect?
Have you noticed that? Well, okay, I'm sorry. That's really. Have you noticed that relationships are basically 99.99% perfect? I haven't noticed that. Have you noticed that relationships are messy? That living life with someone else is messy? Have you ever, when two people get married and find out that one's a clean person, the other one's a messy person, who wins? Guess. It's interesting. Life is messy. Life with people is messy. Alone, you try to predict it all, try to protect yourself, keep it all alone. That's not God how it intended you to live. Because even being alone is messy. Life is messy. It's not a good idea for man to be alone. God created us for relationship and for companionship. What's in our DNA is a desire to belong. I know some people say, well, no, I don't have a desire to belong. I just want to be on my own. And I can find out why, because I've been hurt by so many relationships. I just want to be by myself. And I'm going, you know what? I know you've been hurt by relationships, but God says, don't stop. Keep moving. I will give you the grace to keep going on, because I want you to be involved in relationships. I want you to be involved with people. God created man to belong. God created you to belong. Community, this idea of belonging, this community aspect is deeply grounded in the nature of God Himself. Do you realize that God Himself is a community, a small group of three persons in one? He's got His own small group. Three persons. Now, I'm not pretending to say that I understand the Trinity, the idea that there's three distinct, but yet one, but three, but one. Is God one? Yes. Is God three? Yes. Which one is He? Yes. How do you explain that? I don't know. It takes a brain bigger than mine. It takes a spiritual dimension rather than a natural dimension trying to figure out who God is in this aspect of three in one. But I'm saying this. In the Trinity, there's a sense of community. There's a small group there. God Himself is involved, if you will, in community. Dr. Gilbert Bleckenskin, something like that, he says this. Community flows from whom God is because He is community. He creates community. Because He is community, He creates community. It's His gift of Himself to humans. Therefore, the making of community may not be regarded as an optional decision for Christians. It is a compelling and irrevocable necessity, a binding drive mandated for all believers for all times. God is community, and He creates community, and we need to be involved in community. Secondly, Jesus, when He was down here, He called 12 disciples to His side and modeled this aspect of community, or His small group. He's out ministering, taking them all with Him, comes back, and the small group meets, and they pray for one another, encourage one another, and there's this aspect of we need each other. I wonder if Jesus needed just a helping hand every once in a while, or if He just needed the levity and the insanity of some of His disciples. I can imagine some of the discussion around the campfire. Jesus is out ministering, and all of a sudden things are going well, and then they're not liking Him, and they're chatting against Him and all that. I imagine He comes back to a small group around the fire, and I'm sure the disciples are going, dude, Jesus, it's okay. You just keep doing what your dad says. Hey, we're here for you. We're going to support you. You don't read that in Scripture. But I wonder if it happened. If Jesus was all man like us, I'm sure He felt disappointment. I'm sure that disappointment resonated something inside of His heart that brought a sense of pain. Now, He triumphed over it and kept moving. But how about those disciples, I'm sure, at some point going, Jesus, we're clueless in what You're doing, but hey, keep doing it. We love You. We're here for You. We all need community. We all need community. Thirdly, the disciples continued Jesus' model and formed community of believers. who loved God and loved one another. There was this aspect of community. God is community. Jesus on this earth demonstrated the idea of community in a small group. And the disciples continued on in this aspect of community as the church was started. And it started in houses that moved house to house to house to house. They broke their bread. They had fellowship together. They related together. They ate together. They did stuff together. They talked together. They encouraged one another. They did so many things. And went house to house. It was in this small community that they began to grow and develop and nurture and get excited and mature into what God wanted them to be. And I think the church started out small. It was house to house to house to house. And I think as the church gets larger and larger and larger, we get better and better and better if we go back to smaller and smaller and smaller. I think the church, as it gets large, is supposed to also get small. The larger a church gets, the smaller it should get. And how can a larger church that's growing get smaller? It gets smaller by having small groups. If the church is small enough, that it just that's where they're at and they're starting, praise the Lord, they're their own small group. But as we get larger, we must stay smaller. We can never get bigger and think bigger is better. Bigger is not better. Bigger is more problems. Bigger needs to get smaller in order to sustain itself. If bigger just gets bigger, bigger will blow up. Bigger needs to get smaller. We need to get small. God has a plan for us. God created us to belong in a smaller aspect. God created us to belong in a church. We should belong in a church. But we should also have a segment of that part where we're small in it, where we're relatable in it, where we're known in it, where we can contribute in it, where we have investment, and where we have a vestment in it. I'm vested in this thing. It's a part of me. God created us to belong. To belong to Him. And if not fulfilled rightly, it will be fulfilled wrongly. I look at all of the gangs that are out there in the world. There are so many gangs and so many stories and movies about gangs and all the different names of gangs. And why do kids get involved in gangs? I'll tell you why. Because they want to belong to something. They want to belong. They want to belong to something that matters. And for them, it's an evil thing. And it's a tough thing, but I belong somewhere. I fit in somewhere. Somebody cares about me, notices me, knows if I'm not here, encourages me. Where do I fit in? We all want to know, where do we fit in? Where do I belong? I love the word belong in itself. It speaks about relationships and commitment. But the synonyms for belong are these: to fit in, to be suited for, to have a rightful place, to have a home. Every Sunday you're going to come in here and you're going to see a sign up here and it's going to say, "Welcome home." Welcome home. Why? Because we want you to know you have a home here. We want you to know that we care about you. We want you to know that you fit in here. We want you to know that you're important, that you matter, that your life matters, that what you're going through matters, that your problems that are happening, they matter. We've ministered to lots of problems this week. And you know what? What a joy and delight to have stronger shoulders from people who are going through some difficult situations right now, who are leaning on some people who are helping them get through the difficult situations. Not just lost in a crowd. Don't get lost in a crowd. Become lost in a small group where everyone in there knows who you are. Everyone knows your name. And your name matters. Your name matters. We belong to God. We belong to God. My first point here in 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. But you are a chosen generation. God chose you. He chose you. In John 15, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." God made the first move. He wanted relationship. He wanted community with you. He chose you. He went after you. He bought you with His own blood. He gathered you in and He said, "Hey, I've got a plan and purpose for you. I care about you. I don't want you to walk aimlessly, tossed to and fro. I want to hold on to you. I want you to know that you're mine. You belong to me." And some people go, "Oh, I don't want to be property of anybody. I'll tell you what, I would love to be property of God. He's the biggest, baddest, most awesome person in the whole universe. Don't mess with him. I'll tell you what a great person, God, to have on your side, the all, the everything. I'm glad to belong to him. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special, one thing says, peculiar people. And there are some peculiar people amongst us. I've been peculiar every once in a while. People going, what's going on with you? I don't know. I'm just peculiar. I'm just special. I'm a special person. We're all special. We're all special to God. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It goes on to say, who once were not a people. I didn't belong anywhere. I was trying to fit in with all sorts of places, but I didn't belong there. Where do I belong? I belong in the kingdom of God. I belong under the ownership of Jesus Christ. I belong doing the things that he's called me to do. I belong somewhere. And I'm so thankful that I found out where I belong. We all belong to the master of this universe who created you for good works, for good things. He wants to know, will you let him own you? Will we belong to him? I belong to nobody, and now I belong to God. I was bought with a price, and I'm glad he paid for it. You know, I love it when you get a book. Have you ever found a book, and you open it up, and it says, you know, this book belongs to, and then it has the name in there? By the way, Curtis told me, he said, please, if you have a Bible here, could you write your name in it? We find them all the time in the pews, and we take them back there, and we can't get them back to you because it doesn't have your name in it. It has nothing in there. So, Curtis, I'm doing that for you. Great. Put your name in there. This book belongs to. I etched right here. This life belongs to Jesus Christ. I am not my own. Everybody say that. I am not my own. How many believe that? How many are actively daily walking? Don't raise your hands. I am not my own, but I want that. Oh, you heard me. I want. I was like, I thought you weren't your own. I'm not, sort of. Unless I want something, then I want it. And are we all there sometimes, kind of fickle? God help us to realize that we're not our own. We're property of a big God. We belong to somebody else. But secondly, not only do we belong to God, that's a point I want to hone in on. We belong to one another. We belong to one another. God put us together that we might belong to one another. We belong to something. What do we belong to? We call it the church. What's the church? This building? Nah, it's not this. What's the church? The parking lot out there? No. What's the church? It's us. We're the church. People, identities, humans. We belong to one another. That's what the church is, caring about one another. We talk about the 51 another's in the scripture that talk about how we're to relate to one another. But I belong. Here's something else. I have this thing on my left hand right here. You know what this says? This says I belong. I belong to somebody. I belong to this lady right here. I belong. I belong to someone. I belong to her. That's awesome. I belong to her. I have a sense of, I belong. The only problem, though, is when she thinks that I belong to her. And then because I belong to her, she grabs me by the ear and says, Phil, I want you to do this over here. Go fix this. Go do that. Go there. Go over there. Go wait, do you think I belong to you? Yes. You belong to me. We need to realize that with belonging comes responsibility. But also with belonging comes relationship and fulfillment and security and delight. To be belonging to one another means someone's going to create a mess in your life. And it's great until it's not great. Isn't it? Life is great. Marriage has been great until it wasn't great. And then make it great. One another. That's a great thing. Unless there's some messiness, then it's not great. But then God gave us ways to work through the messiness called repentance and forgiveness that would make it great again. Hey, we got born onto this planet. Hey, I think I'm great. And all of a sudden, mess it all up. Oh, I'm not so great. Then Jesus Christ came in and redeemed me. Hey, I'm great again. And then I walk out there and I'm in my greatness and fall flat on my face and I'm not great again. And then he goes, hey, repent and ask for forgiveness and you're great again. I mean, God is good. Amen. He has a great plan for your life, for you to be great. But we trip up a lot. Thank goodness for his grace, repentance, and forgiveness. And you know what? That's what we all need toward one another just as well. I belong to Carrie Vance. I belong to the Vance family. I belong to Living Faith Fellowship. I belong to you. I belong to you. You can speak into my life. You can say things. I've had people do that. It's awesome. Until it's not awesome. But it's needed. But it's needed. I belong. I belong. You belong. We belong. There's that book, Are You My Mother? Have you ever read that book when you were a little kid? Are You My Mother? Remember little birdie hatches out, his mom's gone to get him some food, and he doesn't know his mom. Falls out of the nest, and he goes around and asks the dog, the cat, the pig, everything, everything out there that breathes, but also things that don't breathe, stuff out there. Yes, a what? A truck and airplane and a steam shovel. Yes, that's what I was looking for. I couldn't get it. I think in the book, the one that I read, it called it a stout or something. A what? A snort. That's what it was. Yes. You can tell I flunked this one. Are you my mother? What was the little baby asking? Do I belong to you? 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 Do you know that we as humans are programmed to go through life asking the question, where do I belong? Where do I belong? We get fed up sometimes and think we don't want to belong anywhere. We isolate ourselves, but we want to belong in the no belonging group. I mean, we just want to belong somewhere. It's in our DNA to belong. God created you that way. So to not belong to a church, to not get involved in something that's smaller, is to deny the DNA that God put inside of you and programmed inside of you. And you know what? Church is messy. Relationships are messy. Life is messy. Life is great till it's not great. But God can make it great again. And he does time and time and time again. And we need that. Are you my mother? I think about a small group. I think about a ladder. Here's a ladder. I don't know if you can see it. Hopefully you can get this. Here's a ladder here. And most people think, can you stay on there, I guess? Most people can think when they're on a ladder, I'll call this up going this way, even though it's maybe backwards. We start down here on the ground, and if I were to get in this ladder and go, hey, all right, I'm climbing somewhere. Hey, I'm getting along in life. Hey, whoa, 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 all by myself. Ta-da! Woo! That was quite a climb. Woo! But I made it all by myself. Where did I get?
Nowhere.
Hey, a person climbing their life, a ladder all by themselves, gets to the top wrong. Where did you get? Where did you get? Ta-da! Nowhere. You got nowhere. You're never going to get anywhere all by yourself. You're never going to make advancements. You're never going to grow higher. You're never going to get an altitude in your life if you try to do it simply by yourself. Let's say I want to put this up. Come on up, guys. I want to get into a small group. Hey, will you guys let me into your group?
Yes.
Oh, you're so nice. And so now, in my small group, I've got some people helping me. Now, if you imagine, If I tried to climb this ladder all by myself, unless I was the guy Uzi on America's Got Talent, I was not going to get to the top of this ladder. There's no way I'm going to make it up there. There's no way I'm going to make some height, some advancement, some growth in my life all by myself. I need the messiness of these four guys. That's you.
We're a mess.
You're a mess. But you haven't seen me. I'm messier, man. I am just a mess. You got to understand we're all a mess. If you think you're going to get perfect to get into a small group or to get into a church or get involved, good luck. You'll never get there because even with all that, it's going to stay messy all the way through. But God says the mess is okay. I'll take care of the mess. I have ways. I have ways. So if I want to make growth in my life, if I want to have spiritual growth in my life, if I want to advance and grow higher, I'm going to need the help of some other people in order to do that, to help steady the ladder that I have. Also, you want to make sure that the ladder is leaning and going in the direction that you really want. Because if it's not, you're going to get to where you don't want to be. A lot of people are connected in groups that are going to take them on the ladder of success, and you're going to keep going, 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 and you're going to get to the top of the ladder, and you're going to find out, whoa, it's leaning against the wrong wall. I love this quote. It says this: people may spend their whole lives climbing the ladder of success only to find once they reach the top, the ladder is leaning against the wrong wall. We need to make sure that when we get to the end of our life, to our top rung, that we realize when we get there, we're excited about what we see when we get there and not have it leaning against the wrong wall because we're in the wrong group, the wrong relationships, the wrong belonging. Because if you belong to the wrong stuff, when you get to the top, you will not like where you are. God says you need to belong to me and you need to belong to my people. And as I do, hallelujah.
Welcome to small group.
Welcome to small group. Oh, thank you. This is the way we go. Oh, great. All right. Are you guys going to hold me?
Yep.
Listen, I'm going to tell you some stuff about my life, and I'm a little nervous. I'm going to uncover myself a little bit and share some personal stuff. And as I share all this personal stuff, you're not going to drop me down, are you?
No.
You're not going to go, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you did that, are you?
Gotcha.
Curtis?
Gotcha.
Are you sure?
Gotcha.
That didn't sound reassuring.
I promise.
You promise? Okay. You'll be good?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. And then we start taking some steps, and we start making some spiritual advancement in our lives. And the way we make this advancement is because we have people helping and supporting us as we take another step up. And I go, I think I can't grow anymore. I think this is where I want to go. I think I don't want to go anymore.
We got you.
I got
your back.
Are you?
We'll keep on climbing.
All right, I'm going to go one more. I'm just going to try one more. I'm going to step out one more. I'm going to lead a Bible study now. I'm going to step out. Oh my God! Have you guys got this? Oh my God! I think this is where God's called me to. I think this is all the bigger He wanted me to grow. I think I'm done. I think I'm done growing.
I'm here to speak into your life. I think He's calling you higher.
Yeah, shut up. Okay, I'm gonna take one more. One more. Whoa! Hey! Wow, things look different from up here. This is pretty cool being up here. This is really cool. I'm thinking I want to step out over. Oh, whoa! Now, let me tell you something. The more you get off center and doing your own thing, the harder it is for the rest of the group to support you. We need to stay true and center on the things of God. Because it doesn't just affect you, it affects all of them too. Oh, my life doesn't matter. My life only affects me. Baloney. Your life affects everybody else that's here. Everybody else committed to you. Everybody else involved in you. Can I make one more? Are you guys, I think this is it, right?
Yeah.
Can I be done here?
We'll try to catch you.
I'm just really nervous. The Lord, I spoke to me this morning. He said, hey, trust those people. Trust me. Trust me. Take another step. You can do it. 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 You can. Oh, I felt that. That moved. That move down there. Nobody's perfect. Okay, nobody's perfect. What do you mean nobody's perfect? You got my life up here. Holy cow.
All right. We're gonna climb with you now.
You're gonna climb with me now. So we can hold on. Okay. You guys got it? Yeah. You guys are talking down there. Are you talking bad? You're saying, hey, watch this. Let's see if we can make the pastor. Oh. Oh, don't look down. Hey, do you need these bulbs changed? I'm here right now. I could do that. All right, I'm going to go. Should I go up?
Yeah.
Honey, I gave the Tahoe to the boys. I just want you to. You got me? Have you got me?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
No.
Okay. Do you want me to take another one?
One more.
Yeah. Hallelujah, I've seen heaven, and now I'm coming down. Oh boy. It's leaning. Oh, sorry. Is that your hand? Oh, life is messy.
You've got like nine more fingers.
You know, you can get hurt in these relationships. And you do. Oops, step around. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Woo! Oh, man. I am sweating. Let me just have a little drink of water. I saw my life pass before me. Hey, guys, thank you so much, man. Hey, Curtis, don't walk away from me. Thank you so much, man. Thank you. Thank you for encouraging me to go along. I wanted to stop, and you just... Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you. Wow. Ah, thankful I'm in. You got a small group of people who are helping you, encouraging you, or blessing you, and encouraging you to go higher. Do you hear what I'm saying? Life is messy, but you're never going to take spiritual advancements and find out when you get to the top of that ladder with other people in the kingdom of God. When you get to the top, I guarantee you this, you will not be disappointed about what God has for you at the end. Other ladders of life, I can't give you that guarantee. I will guarantee you your life will be messy in the kingdom of God. I guarantee you it'll be tough when you're involved in a church, involved in a small group. It will be messy, but the commitment of believers one to another allows there to be such a strength and bond that causes us all to grow higher and higher to reach our full potential. And you will never get there by yourself. You need the messiness of the rest of the people to get you and God where you want to be. Lean on me when you're not strong. And I'll be your friend. I'll help you. Do you realize that there are over 50 one another's in the Bible that God says, I know and I want this so much, this community, this smallness. Out of this bigness, I want this smallness. We're to wash one another's feet, love one another, be kindly affectionate to one another, give preference to one another, have the same mind toward one another, don't judge one another, edify one another, be like-minded toward one another, receive one another, admonish one another, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the guys like to do that one. Through love, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, be kind to one another, forgive one another, submit to one another, teach one another, comfort one another, exhort one another, consider one another, confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another, have compassion for one another, be hospitable to one another, minister to one another, fellowship with one another, peace. Be with one another. Pretty hard to do that if you don't have another. And there's just one. If you're just one and don't have another, you can't fulfill what the scripture's saying. We need one another. We need the smallness of church community to make it in life. God always thinks small. The new craze now in life is small. Have you seen those small homes now? 100 to 300 square feet. I mean, it's like crazy. People are selling their homes so they can have a home like this. A small home. That's a small home. A small home. They're all over the place now. Hey, a small home. Smaller is the new big. There's a book out there, The New Big is Small or something like that. There's all these things about small. Good things come in small packages. Nuclear fusion. Do you understand that splitting a small atom, something small, has a potential to have the impact of something spectacularly huge in a nuclear reactor? The energy given off of splitting an atom that's very small has a huge impact. Do you understand that God dealing with us in a small way can have a huge impact in your life if you will allow the others to sometimes cut us apart? Maybe cutting off some things that really don't belong in my life. Maybe willing to address some things that don't belong in love, caring, to allow me to take another step higher on the rung so I might fulfill my God-given call and I might enjoy the view from a different vantage point. But unless you climb, the view stays the same. We need some others supporting us so we can take a step higher in the things of God. Remember the poem, "For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of a rider, the message was lost. For want of a message, the battle was lost. For want of the battle, the kingdom was lost. All for the want of a little old nail." It has a big impact. Little things have a big impact. Little things make a big difference. God has always thought small. He knows the number of hairs of head, number of hairs on your head. In charge of the whole universe, yet he's small. Small. We need to get small. You get bigger by getting smaller. You get better by getting smaller. Are you involved in something small? Why do we have small groups here? And I'll conclude with these thoughts about this next 5 minutes. To fulfill our mission statement. Why do we have small groups here at Living Faith Fellowship? To fulfill our mission statement. Our mission is to make devoted followers of Jesus in community. In where? In community. You don't do it by yourself. You don't become a devoted follower of Jesus by yourself. By the way, I don't say devoted Christians. I say followers of Jesus because everybody calls himself a Christian. But the proof is always in the pudding. Who are you following? Who are you acting like? Who are you doing like? Are you a follower of him? Doing what he's doing? Make devoted followers of Jesus in community, in relationship, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We need others, and we need the Holy Spirit involved in our life to fulfill the call that God has on our life to be fully devoted to him. Secondly, to purposefully develop close relationships. Purposefully. We do it on purpose. We want to have relationships on purpose. To be present. And make your presence known. Aaron taught a great thing at our men's breakfast yesterday morning. And he talked about fathers need to be present. But not just present, but make your presence known. You're not just there quietly away. But you make your presence known in a small group. I'm here! I'm present. And I can make my presence known by interacting in the group, talking with one another, sharing input and insight. Thoughts and ideas, receiving it as well. You matter to God. You matter to others. You belong. You fit in. You're home. You're home. Take your shoes off. Relax. Let your hair down. Talk about your life. Help somebody else in their life. Let's get small. Let's get small. Let's do life together. Because we all need someone to lean on. We need someone to hold up our ladder, to champion our cause. Everyone has a need and everyone has a gifting. A small group is an area where it can be expressed, where it can manifest, where it can help. Thirdly, I say so we can grow. Fourthly, I say so we can grow. So we can grow, so we can grow. What does that mean? So we can grow personally. As iron sharpens iron, so a man's countenance. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And I thought about sharpening. Has anybody here ever sharpened a knife before? I'm not really good at it. If Tommy was here, he could do it. Tommy's good at it, but you sharpen. Iron sharpens iron. You don't have iron sharpening being sharpened by rubber. this isn't going to sharpen this knife. I don't have the carpet sharp. It's iron sharpens iron. And you know what happens when iron meets iron? There's friction. Hear that? Hear that? There's friction. Sparks fly. Sparks fly sometimes in relationships. Have you noticed that? But it sharpens something. Without the interaction of friction and sparks, you have no sharpness. You stay dull. I don't know many people just want to be dull. But without the sharpening of one another, iron sharpening iron, without this and the friction and the sparks that fly and the messiness that happens sometime, we don't get sharp. We don't get honed. We don't get helped. And we stay dull. We need one another, even though it is very, very messy. So we can grow personally, but number four, so we can grow corporately. I'll tell you what, if we grow and our relationships grow and people are excited about how it's all growing and they're growing and they're excited about the growth that's happening in their life, and then they start telling a friend, hey, you know what, my life was like this and all of a sudden God changed. Hey, you should come to small group because, wow, things really happened there. And all of a sudden, people start adding and growing. You know why the kingdom of God grows? Because somebody represents Jesus Christ so well, they want in on it. Hear me. Because someone represents Jesus Christ so well, they want in on it. When you don't represent him well, they don't want in on it because they've already got that. When we represent him so well by our lifestyle, by our change, by who we've become, people want in on it. People want in on it. People want in on it. Let me pray. Father, I thank you that you're amazing. That you yourself are community. You're the three in one. You're the first small group. Then Jesus starts one. Then the disciples start them. And Lord, I think our instruction is that we need to have them. Because smaller is bigger. Smaller is better. Help us, Lord, to be able to risk the messiness of getting closer in a group. Help us to risk the ugliness, the friction, the sharpness, all that happens as we get closer to someone, realizing the benefit as a whole. We all get better. Father, we thank you that you risked it with 12 disciples. You risked it. And you set a great example for us to follow. Let us, Lord, get small so we can fulfill the call you placed in our life. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You know, if we're not connected to a small group, we're not connected to a church, connected somewhere we're involved, it's kind of like a fish out of water. It's not his natural environment. He was never created to be out of water. And he flips around and he flutters around and he's all over the place like that, making all sorts of commotion, but really not going anywhere at all. It's not until he gets to the environment that he was created to be in that he moves and swims and fulfills his call in the same way. The environment God created us to grow in is the church, subdivided down to something small where we can fulfill.